God. Thank God. Amen. I love lively worship on Sunday, and then do that again on Wednesday. It makes it so much more awesome. I know you've been to work, school, whatever, and you might be tired. So classes can be dismissed, and those of you that are tired can be seated. All of you can be seated, actually. I'm really glad that early in my ministry, I had the opportunity or necessity to work a job and then come to church on a midweek. And so I know what you feel like. I've been there. I've sat on a front row or a second row and wished I had sat on the back because I felt like I was going to fade out any moment, sunburned and dehydrated. And then I've been there when I felt just wonderful. So I hope that's how you are, somewhere in between there. I'm going to read from John chapter 5 and verse 2 through 9. And I'm going to go to a couple of places in the Old Testament just for some reference. But the Bible is talking about a miracle that occurred. And this one was kind of different. In that the surroundings, the setting was really unique. It said, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." Now, if you knew that happened, you would want to be one of those that was going to be able to get into the water. You know, studying this, I've often wondered, was this something that someone felt was true, or did this happen? And there's nothing here to indicate that this didn't happen. Perhaps just the Lord wanting to be a blessing to people and say, here's a way. However, when Jesus came, he healed whosoever would allow him to, blind, halt, lame. But the situation at this pool of Bethesda was, it would seem that those that were less in need were more capable of being healed. If you just had a sprained wrist, you could be watching for the moving of the water, and you could sprint to the water and do a cannonball. Because you didn't know when it was going to do that. So you're staring at the water, and every little thing causes maybe a false alarm, and they jump in and jump back out. And I'm sure if I was one of the kids in that day, I'd be flinging rocks into the water just to watch. You can imagine these things probably happened. They had five porches, five different areas that the people could wait there. And so it says whoever got into the water first at that time when the angel troubled the water, he was healed. It doesn't say any more about that. It just throws that out there, and you can believe it was right, that it happened, or just it doesn't matter. It doesn't have any effect on the rest of the story. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Now, I don't know if this man spent 38 years coming to the water. I doubt it. But he had an infirmity 38 years. And so with it being that long, this was the place that he wanted to be for a chance. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said, do you want to be made well? You're at this place where everybody's laying around with needs. And it gets real busy at this time of year because this is the time when the water gets troubled by the angel. That's why you're here. And he asked him a very obvious question. Do you want to be made well? Right. And all that is a way of introducing him to what's about to happen. The sick man answered him, "Sir." You notice he didn't answer the question. He said, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming..." Which lets you know this water was probably stirred up a time or two when he was there. He said, "But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. They beat me to it." So he had been a loser. Not only the fact that he was lame, but when he tried to get into the water, can you imagine how desperate and how sad that was, that he's trying with his crippled body to make it, dragging himself, and people that have helpers, they're throwing somebody, you know, two or three grown men throwing somebody in there, and grandpa hits the water and he's healed and comes out and testifying, and this guy's like, I just got to have some friends. They've all, you know, maybe they had been with him for a while. You could, you know, figure the ending of there, or the drama could be on and on and on. But he said, I don't have anybody to do that because people get in front of me in line. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, you talk about an emotional whiplash. Here he is being asked questions about how much of a loser he's been in this state he's in, and he's had to tell him, I don't have a helper. I don't have a friend anymore that can stay with me to throw me in, because while I'm dragging myself there, somebody goes in before me and there's winners, and I'm never a winner. I've always just been what I am. I'm just a loser here. And Jesus just tells him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now the man, I don't believe he had to think, if I feel something going on in my legs, I will be standing up on them. I believe when the Lord said, rise, something came over him called healing. And he had strength in his legs and his arms and his back and everything. Just, it was no therapy needed. Instantly, the man was made like somebody new. Yes. And he got up and he rolled his bed up. I'm sure it caused a commotion, and he's excited and probably dancing about. I don't know what all he's doing, but Jesus went on about his business and left all that, the little hubbub there, and to let them deal with it themselves. And, you know, another word, how do you like that? You know, the water hasn't been troubled and no one jumped in, but how do you like this? I kind of went around in the back door and created a little disturbance, a little miracle. Immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And that day, to top it all off, that day was the Sabbath. You don't do any work on the Sabbath. So Jesus was waiting for the Sabbath so he could break that rule. And then he could break the rule of the pond. And so he just went against the grain at every turn and stirred people up and then left them to clean up, you know. And later he came back around and said, how are you doing? How did everybody think? What happened when I left? He had to come back and talk to the man again. And he realized, you know, something great had happened to this guy. They were professional needy people because they were blind, they were lame, and they were paralyzed. Those are the three categories. I'm sure there was other things, but those three there, blind, paralyzed, and lame. In 2 Kings, I just want to go here and talk about how God can open our eyes even when we're not blind, because we can be spiritually blinded. And it can be worse than natural blindness, because it can affect our soul. It can affect our eternal destinies. But in 2 Kings 6 and verse 15, when the servant of the man of God, this is Elisha here, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? He answered, don't be afraid. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that be with them. And Elisha prayed. And you think now, if I'm Elisha, I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, Lord, please help us out of this jam that we're in. Right. Help me, God, to somehow escape through a hole in the earth or something to get away, to get away from this army that they've surrounded the city. But he said, he prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Let him see naturally what I'm seeing spiritually, because he needs to see what really is out there. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. Now, why, if God answers a prayer, why stop praying? Why sit back and say, oh, this is going to be a nice long flight, I'm going to fasten my seatbelt and order me some coffee and just enjoy the rest of the flight. He had it made. He had a miracle there. He could have said, this is enough. This is enough. I was thinking today and a little bit about it yesterday. I was here a Sunday before last, I think it was. And I remembered talking about drawing on everything that I could get. But I don't know, I don't remember ever making the point. I may not have. I get off on a what they call rabbit trail, and I might have forgot it. But if I didn't, and you remember what I said, that's good. But I'm about to repeat it because I think I didn't make my point. But here was the thing. As a non-artist who loved to draw, I would draw on anything I could get. Take a piece of paper like this. If I was sitting in church and it was boring, which when you're little, it's that way a lot, Mom would give me a pen or a pencil, and I've got my whole night right there, the whole 45-minute sermon, and I would draw on that. Everything I could find out, I just loved to draw, and I was not good at it. Isn't that odd that I just loved to do it, but I wasn't good? Anyway, in my story, I told you about a guy named Scott that was good. You know, anyway, I wasn't good. But it didn't stop me. I buried through and never got good at drawing. But here's the thing. Blank sheet right there. Just, man, that you can do anything with that. Here is the way I feel about prayer. When I have space in my day, you know, like, wow, I've got 10 minutes. I've got 30 minutes. I come up here this morning, just had the morning, and it was just wide open. And yesterday, too, had some air conditioner work that was done. Ladies, the restroom, I hope it's a little cooler. The hospitality room's going to be a little cooler. But anyway, that was another story. But when you get to a place where you have some space, 30 minutes on the way to work, cranking up the tunes. Hold on a minute. What if you use that blank space to just change your world? All right. Can I do that? Yeah. Because prayer is that powerful if you believe that it is. Amen? Because those that come to God must believe He exists and He rewards those that seek Him. And that means you got to first of all believe your God is listening to you. You don't got to wait in line. You don't got to take a number. There's no magic word. You just got to start talking to Him. And when you talk to Him, He listens to you. I know that is really basic, but that's what I meant to make, in case I didn't make my point a couple of Sundays ago, is that everywhere there's an opportunity, if we seize that opportunity and use it to take our needs to the Lord, you're going to start seeing needs answered, and you're not going to be the cripple by the pool, but you're going to be the one dancing and jumping around and testifying and saying, look what God's done in my family. Look what He's done in my life. You do not have to be 25 years serving God before this worked. It's just, how long did this guy know Jesus? Oh, wait, he didn't. He just obeyed Him. So if we can take those areas of our life where we need something and just say, God, this is what I need. Situation like this, the servant looked out and said, there's chariots all around. We're surrounded by the enemy. And he said, God, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, behind the enemy chariots were chariots and horses of fire. They weren't going to fight. They weren't going to catch the other army on fire. He just knew, all right, now I know the angels of God are on our side. And there's more that be with us than with them. And then he goes, all right, you're you know, calm down and let's do this next part. Lord, Elisha said, strike them all with blindness. Yeah. It'll make our job a lot easier. The horses, let them see. He didn't say that, but I think the horses had, you know, more sense than the soldiers. But all the soldiers were blinded. And he says, no, come this way. You guys, you just follow my lead. And they followed him into Samaria. And when they got in there, he goes, all right, God, open their eyes. And the enemy was inside their enemy's city, inside the gated city. And you know what he did with them? He said, let's feed them and send them home. And that's what they did. What kind of a statement do you think that made? The people of God said, we are going to do this the right way. And instead of skinning you alive, we're going to just feed you and send you home. Because we've got power greater than the power that you had. Because they that be with us is more than they that be with them. Jesus walks by a pool full of crippled people, but he picked one man out that probably in his mind felt like, I am the biggest loser laying beside the water today. And that's the one he wanted to make a winner by saying, hey, get up and take your bed and go on. All right. Instantly, the man received strength, rolled up his bed, and walked, because it was just time for a miracle. Amen. So it said in this group, they were blind, lame, and paralyzed. And this man was lame. But the word paralyzed here, they use the word halt in the King James Version, halt. And if you find that in the Bible, it just means paralyzed. 1 Kings 18 and 21, this is the predecessor to Elisha. Elijah came unto the people and said, how long? Now this is whenever he's on the mountaintop and they're sacrificing to their God and it didn't work and all of that. So he's proving to them that Jehovah God is real. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be paralyzed between doing one thing or the other? There's paralysis that set in because you're looking at two ways and you're wondering, which way can I go? He said, how long is that going to affect you? If the Lord be God, then follow him, and he will make known that he is God. We just need to talk to him and get to know him a little bit. He'll let us know he's God. He said, if he's the one, you need to follow him. But if Baal, the false god that you sacrifice to that never has done anything, you go ahead and follow him. And the people said to him, not a word, not a word. And he destroyed all the Baal worshipers, just in case you were wondering what happened next. But in this scene, my original thought here, they were waiting for the moving of the water. They're waiting on their chance, and they all had their eyes on the water. And I believe it was probably, the Bible said a certain time. This was not 365 days. At a certain time, they're looking here and waiting for that. You know, you can hear some stories in a doctor's waiting room if you want to listen to people. You know, I've been very, and I'm sure you've developed this art of learning not to make eye contact when you don't want people to talk to you about something. I'm not being unfriendly, but there's people that are really chatty in doctor's offices and waiting rooms. And when their person that they've been chatting up gets their name called and they're like, whew, I was, you know, they've been saved, they need somebody else to talk to. And I'm not saying I ignore people or I'm not friendly. I just sometimes might make it a little more difficult for that person to single me out and talk to me. Not, I haven't done that very much, so your judgment is burning me right now. I feel it. We've all done that. You know, there's just chatty people, and then there's me, and I've done that before. And so it's sometimes they just want somebody to hear their situation. Let me tell you why I'm here. And you know, it's nice to discuss those things at home, but with strangers, no, I don't feel the need to do that. But I'm a good listener if somebody wants to. And if you guys think I'm trying to say I don't like to listen, that's not true, but not in the doctor's office. All right, if you were crippled and you needed a friend to help you out, you had a problem, and all you needed was somebody to just help you get to the water, that would be a friend indeed. Yes. If you're saying there's about a 2-week span when the water could be troubled in that 2 weeks, if you could just set 1 week with me, I got another friend, and if you can work together and y'all can be there with me, is it night or day? We don't know. I don't think it was all night, but it could have been. But he needed somebody that was willing to be with him, and he had zero friends. Right. You know what? It might have been friendly early on. It might have been friendly 20 years ago, but this man for 38 years had been paralyzed, and after 38 years, he had used up all the favors. And there's no one to help him get to the water and dump him in. So if you were crippled there and you needed a friend, you would be somebody that would be very friendly to everybody around you, just so that you might could connect to someone that could help you. Our relationships that we make with people, listen to this very careful. In the church, it's the greatest relationships we make. These small groups that we have, yes. You get into a small group, you're not just going to meet two or three people and for the life, that's all you've got. But as long as we are, each of us are reaching across and making connections, we are like a net that they cast into the sea. The disciples were out there casting their net. But then the Bible tells us on one occasion they were mending their net. On another occasion, they were cleaning their net. They're having to take the debris out of it. And that net is like God was training them. The Lord was saying, this is what you all are. It's like a net. The church is a net. And everybody is interwoven and interconnected. And so one friend is the friend of another who's a friend of another. And that's what these small groups we have a part of that are going so strong. It causes us to be connected. And therefore, we feel the needs of each other, and we feel the rising and the falling, and we feel everyone's soul, everyone's heartbeat. That's an awesome thing. This is what makes the church, is the connections that we have. A certain man at a certain time was there. A certain man at a certain time. Lord, help me to be at the right place at a certain time for whoever needs me to be their friend, who needs me to connect with them, who needs me to help them get a little closer to their miracle or a little closer to their answer. Because it's all about relationships. You know, once you've been down for 38 years, there's not a lot of hope that today could be the day. 38 years. I think today's the day. There's not much hope in today after 38 years. You're just there because I don't have anything else to do. And there is hope in the water. There is hope there.
Yes, sir.
Friend, there is more than just hope here. This is a place of power. This is a place of a refuge. Yes. This is where souls are brought together. Amen. This is a place where God makes us over new.
Yes, he does.
If it wasn't for the fact that God renews us, if we're all sitting here the same as we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, this wouldn't be very much fun. We'd be showing each other our bruises all the time. You know, look what happened to me yesterday. But God picks us up and cleans us and sets us on a straight path. And therefore, we can encourage one another and say, let me tell you what happened to me. Don't you think that this man, when he left, he didn't leave saying, let me tell you about the pool. He said, let me tell you about Jesus. I was by the pool. It never helped me for 38 years. But he came by one time and said, just get up and take your bed and walk. And here I am telling you about it. Standing up, just letting you know I'm a product of a miracle of Jesus Christ. Something about being blessed by God in any capacity. We want to talk about it. We want to share it. It's called a testimony. And thank God for giving us such testimonies like this. Amen. Simon Peter quotes Joel on the day of Pentecost. He said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do you got to do? You got to call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. He made it very easy. Matter of fact, he doesn't have to walk by and say, do you want to be saved?
No.
We know it's 24/7 from now on. Whatever we want, he will give that to us. You know, there's situations that we go through in life. There's circumstances that might cause us to fear. That's just an example. We may have fear. Now, if I asked for hands right now and you knew no one was going to see you, you'd raise your hand. There'd be hands up here saying, I deal with fear. I deal with doubt. I deal with self-esteem issues. All of these things are very common.
That's right.
Very common to everyone. That's why the Lord picks a church out of just the general fabric of life.
Amen.
So that we can identify with others and say, I've been there. I've been through that. I've been through anxiety. I've been through depression. We have all those things that people come in and have that is attached to them. If I ask you right now, have you ever had a lot of self-doubt? We'd have every hand raised. We've all dealt with having doubt. But we know the fixer. The Bible calls him the comforter, the Holy Spirit. When he comes into our life, he begins to work on what we were to make us what we need to be. Oh, it's an awesome life living for him. Amen. Jesus knew that he had been in that condition a long time, the Bible said. When he saw him, he knew he had been in that condition a long time. The Lord is not, you know, we ascribe to him human qualities that aren't correct, but it's our way of describing him. The Lord is, you know, we say things like, the Lord is just wanting to know. No, he already knows. The Lord's wondering. No, he's not wondering. That's us. But we use those ways to describe the positioning of God in our life and put it on a human level so we can understand. But he already knows all things. He can do all things. Basically, I'm just needing the faith, and you're needing the faith to believe that he's going to do that.
That's it.
And I'll tell you, He's not going to take you out of every problem you're in. No. No. And you need to be thankful for that.
That's right.
Need to be thankful for that. You know, we had a book at home I used to read sometimes, and it was old stories, old world stories it was called. And there was a story in there, and I didn't like it. It just was a terrible ending. So, you know, you need to hear this. This man caught a fish, and huge gold fish. And the fish said, if you'll throw me in the water, I'll give you 3 wishes, and they'll come true. So he threw him in the water, and he told his wife, and she said, why did you throw the fish back if he was made out of gold? He said, well, I get 3 wishes. And they got in an argument. They got in a really bad argument. And the wife just said, I just wish we had some sausage. You know, if you had money, we could have bought sausage. Boom, there's a sausage on the table. And the man got so angry, he said, we have 2 more wishes. He goes, you make me so mad. I wish that sausage was stuck to your face. Sausage stuck. This is an old story. So, it, you know, had to be true. And their 3rd wish, he had to wish the sausage off of her face, or, you know, he's going to have a wife angry for the rest of his life. So he said, I wish the sausage was off your face. The moral of the story is, they were okay before. But when they got 3 wishes, they ended up just like they started before they caught that fish of opportunity. Because that's just how people are.
That's right.
And we, as kids, we had this thought, you know, us friends, that we had this thought that nobody else had ever had. That if you had 3 wishes, the first wish would be for more wishes. Like, no one's ever thought of that. Honestly, I thought I was original. I thought that's what I would ask for. As if that is actually ever going to happen. We don't get wishes with God, but we get this one thing. Whatever you ask in faith, believe, and believe that you may receive it, and it will be done unto you. Whatever you ask in His name. There's something about asking in His name, because it causes me to get honest with who I am and where I am. And so when I ask in His name and I say, Lord, I really want you to make me famous. And I know, God, I'm 59, but I want to be a rock star just for a few years. That'd be crazy. You know, that's not going to happen. I would have wasted the prayer. We have to pray in the will of God. And there are things that I know I've prayed for God to do that He hasn't done. It's because He loves you and me too much. Because He knows what we would do with the answer that we're asking Him to give us. And so there's something about the working fabric of the relationship between you and God, that there's things He will do and there's times He will say, just wait. And I'm so thankful that He's had me wait, because I've looked back later and said, I was out of order asking for that. But now I look at it more clearly and see that that would have been disastrous if I would have got what I asked for. Because what God is doing, as we may walk through the valley of the shadow sometimes, that He's building faith in us for another time, for another battle, that we're going to win that time. But He's walking with us through the whole thing. And He does bless us. And you know, I could stand up here all night and tell you things, and you could do the same by testifying about what God has done for you. Answered prayers over and over again. But I'm not a millionaire. Probably never will be, and I don't think it would be good if I was. I'm just glad to be what I am, where I am, for what God needs me to be. It's being content. And contentment, the Bible says, with godliness is great gain.
Yes.
To be content. Not lazy. Not like, well, I don't care what happens. But to know, Lord, I'm praying my way through this world, and I'm getting the best I can get from You, God. And I pray You give me the grace to just continue to do what You've asked me to do.
Amen.
So Jesus was there. But He saw the man, and He knew that he'd been in that condition a long time. So He says, do you want to be made well? You know, He knew the answer. But that was a great question to open up the conversation with. And when He said it, the man said, Lord, I don't have anybody. That wasn't the question, was it? Because he said, to be made well, my thinking is, I got to be drugged to the pool. And I got to be the first one in. And it's hard to even get there. And then there's some of these people that, the ones that aren't that bad off, they can get there quicker. But me, I'm paralyzed. I can't get there. And so, no, I've been here for this long. I don't know how long he'd been there. But Jesus didn't ask him, do you have somebody? He just said, would you be made whole? Would you like to be whole? In other words, there's a shortcut here. Like, I was thinking about this at home a while ago, and I know I've told you this story, but we were at the Empire State Building, and we had a friend there with us that knew the guards, and all these guys had been NYPD, and he says, don't worry about the line out the door. We're going to go past the line, and you don't pay anything. And he goes over there, and this guy that knows him, let's go into this other elevator. And people were watching us, and I was enjoying them watching us, because they was about to watch us go right into an elevator that they didn't get to use. And I thought, I'm a star for a few minutes. And we got in there, and he said, we're going to take you to a floor nobody gets to go to. And, oh, that was nice. It's higher than the other one. And then we go down to the other one. And no lines, no waiting. I thought, wow, it feels awesome to be privileged like this. They're out there paying and waiting in line and standing outside the building waiting for the line to get inside. And we just went straight to the top. That's what God can do. When we walk in faith and say, Lord, I've been here a long time and I just need some help. He will take you and push you through by His own grace and by His own power. But He does whatever is needed in our life. And Lord, my prayer is help me to know what the need is in my life, that I can pray according to the will of God. Not my needs and desires, but pray according to the will of God. That way, when I don't turn the way I thought I was going to and I don't end up where I wanted to, that I can say, God, this must be what you wanted. But I'm gonna bear down and be faithful and be content to be right here. You know, I think it's safe to say that none of the previous recipients of that pond, that pool of Bethesda, had ever met Jesus. But he knew every one of them and knew how long all these others had suffered in their current state. And something about that man, 38 years, I don't know if anybody could compare to 38 years of being a loser. 38 years of being crippled. Nothing happened. But that day, Jesus came to him on the right day. Even though he didn't even have the right answer. Do you want to be made whole? Lord, let me just tell you my situation. It's really bad. No, that's not it. Get up and take your bedroll, because you're not going to be back here anymore. You're moving on. You're moving on from the place that you think you have healing. You're moving on. And now you're going to be a testimony. And Jesus disappears for a while the Pharisees have their time with him, and then Jesus comes back to him. Yeah, he won't leave you alone. And I'm thankful for what he can do and what he will do. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. That's where salvation starts. Dear God, save me, Lord. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. The key is to know, and let's all stand. The key is to know what it means to call. What does it mean to call? We don't experiment with Jesus. It's not an experiment. We call and do what he asks us to do. And if he says, rise, take up your bed and walk, that's what I want to do. Lord, if I've got to rise and roll up my problems and roll up my excuses and roll up my identity with my problems and all the issues I have, if that's what I need to do, God, give me the grace and the power to do that right there. Amen. I'll do it. Amen? I don't want to wallow in my misery. I want to stand up and leave it behind, because God has given us the right to do it. Now, in case you're hearing all this and going, well, sounds good. How do I know this is going to happen? Because the Bible tells us, you call on him. He said, if you call on me, I'll answer you. And I'll do great and mighty things that you know not of. In other words, some things are being hidden from you and from me that God is going to do. And we don't know about it, but he's going to do those things. You don't know what he's about to do. Great and mighty things you don't know. That's the part that's important, because it causes me to unplug my expectations from what I think is possible. See, I think, well, here's where God's going to have to move, because I'm this way and I got this condition. And he goes, no, I can do things that you do not even know that I can do. So just back away and let me do my work. Let me be a God. Amen? I would ask you to please gather down to the front just for a little while. We're early. We're 5 minutes early. But we're going to sing this song and end in prayer. And I want God to infuse us all with just a shot of faith, to believe Him, to know that He's willing, to know that He's able. You know, what is it better than just a Bible study? A Bible study that we can actually leave changed, that we can actually leave with hope in our spirit and a little lighter step. And who knows, God could maybe deliver you tonight. This might be your time to take up your bed and say, Lord, I'm done. I'm going to walk now. I'm going to go in that brand new direction with you, God. And I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know you're going to be beside me, because you've given me the courage now, and I've heard your word, and I've been challenged, and this is what I'm going to do. What about the little problem on the job, the conflict that's there, and every time you go in there, you have to pray as you're getting out the elevator or walking into the parking lot, God, please let that person not ridicule me. Let them not get on me, my nerves again. You know how the job can be a battlefield, and it can weigh on your mind, and He can take that right now and turn it around. He can take that and flip it on its head, and you can go into work tomorrow, and it'll be a completely different scene, and God is just going to say, see what I did? That's what I do. That's just what I do. That's how my God is. Amen. Let's sing this right now and let your faith be built up.